Exodus chapter number 4. This is message number 10, and we're finishing up chapter 4. So buckle in, man. We are really exploring Exodus. We're not rushing. In fact, the thought process was after last week, I was so glad to be done with last week's message. And if you're here last week, you know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, just catch the podcast, because I'm never preaching from those three verses again, unless God, like, from a burning bush says, you will preach from 24, 25, 26. And I was ready to move on, man, like chapter 5, let's go, let's get out of chapter 4. So as I was reading, though, those final verses in chapter 4, we read them last week, I thought, man, there's some good stuff in here, and we can't rush through this. And so I've got some things to share from these last verses of Exodus chapter number 4. I apologize that your outline in your bulletin is just lines, so it's just a place where you can take notes. But we do have an app here for the church, and if you've got a smartphone, you can the outline's there. So the outline is there. Additional scripture verses are there that we'll go through this morning. So if you want to look that up. But anyway, I apologize with the week this week with Thrive, and we've not been in the office much this week. There just wasn't time to get all of that done before the bulletin. So, Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 to 31. So let's stand together, as our custom, and let's read. You follow along as I read these verses today. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed when they had heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction. They bowed their heads and worshiped. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to believe what you have for us today. Lord, thank you for every single person in this room. There's not a single person here who is here by accident. Everyone is here by divine appointment, and I just believe that you have something for all of us today. So Lord, as we go through these verses of scripture, I pray that you would just quiet our hearts and minds, help us to not be distracted by the things from the week behind or the week to come, and Lord, give us these moments together as a church family to center around your word for us today. So your blessing, your help, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys. You may be seated. Appreciate that. So the title of the message today is Yes, Yes. And as I was reading through these verses of scripture again, in preparing for chapter 5, I mean, that's where it all started, and I was reading these verses again, and I just had this overwhelming sense of this word, yes. Kind of like last week was kind of that, okay, what? That was kind of the thematic element from last week's message. And this week, as I was just reading it, because what you see happening in these verses, before he gets to Pharaoh in chapter number 5, you have this, finally God has sent someone, like God has heard us. God has seen our affliction. There's someone here that's going to deliver us. God has not forgotten about us. Yes! There's just this sense of like, finally, after all these years and all the things that has happened to us, because there were other verses, you know, earlier in the book, it's like, you know, God heard them. God saw them. God knew what was going on. But the people did not know that. There was this divide. God was doing what he was doing, but he hadn't clued the people in on what was going on. The people are just kind of walking and wandering through life, and a hardship life of that as a slave, an enslavement. And so now God finally reveals his purpose to the people through Moses and Aaron, and they hear it, and they believe it, and they bow their heads, and they worship, and there's just this sense of, yes, yes, it's finally here. Now, I have to tell you that I had to completely swap out the illustration that I planned to use this morning as it relates to that moment where you're like, yes, finally. And you can imagine it was going to be something like this, okay? Part of that was because Shane was here, and, you know, we're obviously brothers in that regard. But I was actually going to be really, like, passive-aggressive about it and be like, You know, a really good illustration would have been the Cubs winning the World Series, but I don't want to talk about the Cubs winning the World Series because I just don't want everyone to think I'm just always talking about the Cubs, you know, and I would be like really passive-aggressive about it. But something happened to me yesterday that totally has the potential, because I haven't gone yet, but has the potential of completely transforming my life on this planet. And that is not hyperbole at all. So yesterday, or this weekend, we were at the Thrive Conference. So go ahead and throw the Thrive Conference logo up. So this is at Bayside Church, and this year it was at Bayside at Adventure, so in Roseville, which was kind of fun because I hadn't been to Adventure in a long time, and you know, we had ties to Adventure, you know, way back in the day when we first started. So it was fun just kind of being on campus and connecting with people there. And so one of the things that they do at the Thrive Conference, there were, I think they said 4,600 people there this year. Okay, huge conference, great conference. We go every year. And one of the things they do to encourage your attendance the following year is they encourage you to get your tickets for next year this year. And if you've been to a conference, that's pretty typical. Like, buy your ticket here, and it'll be drastically reduced than the price you would pay if you wait and do it, you know, later. So for the last, you know, few years, that's what we've done. You know, we've gone to Thrive, we buy our tickets for the next year, and then, you know, we plan to go. And one of the ways they incentivize that is they do prizes, they do giveaways, they do drawings at the end to encourage you to, you know, to participate. And so they had different prizes at different levels. And so individuals that registered, they would draw a name, and you could win an Apple Watch. And then there was a box that was 2 to 9. So if it was your group was 2 to 9 people, they would draw a name, and you win an Apple Watch. And then there was a box for a group for 10 or more, and we typically buy 10 tickets, 10 or more. It was this box, and the winner of the card that was drawn out of that box won an all-expenses-paid trip to Israel. And guess who won that drawing? PG! So I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there, and you know, it was me and Jordan and Nicole and Dan, you know, there for the last session. And it's one of those you have to be present to win. And we've been kind of making a joke about it all week, like, man, I would love to go. I mean, literally, it's a dream of mine to go to Israel, this side of, you know, this side of heaven, like this side of eternity. I kind of want to see a before and after, you know, a picture of what it's going to be like, because I know I'm going to be there eventually, you know, checking it out. But I kind of want to see it now. And you know, I never win these things. And I have to stop saying that. I never win contests. I never win. No. So we're sitting there. And there's all these people. And you can see the videos on my Facebook page. And they draw, Greg Manser, Adventure Church. And we just look, and we're like, did he just say that? Did he, what? Did he just say that? I mean, it is absolutely surreal, you know? And so so they didn't have anything to give me. So they gave me the box that the cards were in. So I've already told Christy, like, this is like the sacred box. Like, you cannot throw away the box. The box stays forever. If any of you would like to touch the box later, that will cost you. If you want to rub the box, Tracy's like, you need to buy a lottery ticket, you know, tonight. That's what you need to do. It is just for me, by the way. Trey's like, you need to let people know. So it's not a plus one thing. So we're still trying to figure out if it'll work out for Tracy to be able to go. And I don't know the details yet. It was one of the things, like, they know me, so, and they were very kind. They're like, you know, this is Greg from Adventure, he's doing a great job, and we know him, and it was just really, really super cool. And I've literally gotten more hits on my Facebook page than when my son got married, you know, more likes, more comments, like over 2,000 people have seen the videos that I've posted, so all that's on Facebook, you can check that out. My mom, you know, I'm getting all these accolades, you know, like, Pastor Greg, we're so excited for you, congratulations, that's so awesome. My mom chimes in, do you have to pay taxes for that? And I'm like, what a mom thing to say, you know? No, I'm so happy for you. No, congratulations. Do you have to pay taxes for that? And I was like, Mom, I don't know. I don't care. It's ordained of God. I'm going. I'm going to Israel. So that's super cool. So I'm really excited. But you can only imagine that it was clearly a yes moment of my life. Like, I get to go to Israel. I'm so very excited. And as you think about what's happening here in Exodus chapter number 4, there is a yes moment that's happening here where God is finally revealing himself to his people and the people are finally ready to engage in the process of freedom. And here we go. So just some quick takeaways this morning, and then we're going to observe communion before we close today. Okay, so takeaways from, yes. Number one, while God is working on you, he is preparing the way ahead of you. While God is working on you, he's preparing the way ahead of you. You know, all the conversation, you know, as we've gone through chapter, you know, 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, into chapter number 4, all the conversation is between God and Moses. I mean, all the interaction is God and Moses and what and Moses' plan. And all of a sudden you have the Lord says to Aaron, Moses' brother, go out in the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him at the mountain of God, and he kissed him, which would be that Middle Eastern custom and be similar to our, you know, handshake, you know, that we would do today. Bring it in, bro. That's what we would do today. Okay, he kissed him on the cheek and he greeted him. And so it's fascinating to me to think that all this time, all this dialogue, all this conversation, all this thing that's happening in Moses' life, at the very same time, God's working in Aaron. Like, hey, you need to go and meet your brother. You need to go and meet Moses. And I'm reminded that God's story is not a linear story. It's an immersive one. God's story is not a linear story, it's an immersive one. So when we interact with each other, we interact in a linear way, which means I can only have one conversation at a time. I try to have more, as you'll witness outside, you know, after church this morning. I'll try to carry on like five conversations at once, but I can only have one conversation. I can only be talking to Jason, and it's just me and Jason, we're having a conversation. I can't be talking to Jason and talking to Jared at the same time. I cannot do it. I am human. I'm incapable of doing that. The difference between me and God is while I can only carry on one conversation at a time, God is talking all the time to everybody. So while God is speaking to Jason, God's also speaking to Jared. It's an immersive story where God is constantly working in people's lives. God is working in every single life this morning, whether you know it or not. He's working in your life today. You know, my Thrive story. You know, Thrive has always been a very special conference for me. I've gone for several years now. But it's particularly, it's a touchstone in my ministry because it was 6 years ago, May 2011, that I came to the Thrive conference while I was still serving as pastor in New York. And I came to the Thrive conference in California knowing that my ministry in New York was coming to an end. So I came out to California, you know, pretty discouraged, pretty down. And Thrive is a conference where you go to get encouraged and pumped up and excited about what God's called you to do. And I'd already resigned from my ministry position. So I was like, I was feeling like one of the biggest failures in the kingdom of God. I'd left everything to go to New York. I'd moved my entire family. We transplanted our entire life. And I was sitting there, and I walked out of that first general session. I can go to the exact spot in the parking lot, the Granite Bay campus, the exact spot. And I wept, because I did not know, God, what are you doing in my life? You know what God was doing? God was working in my life, and he was preparing the way ahead of me with a little something called Adventure Church of Yuba City. Who knew? Who knew in May of 2011, as I'm walking out of there wondering, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to sell cars? Am I going to sell real estate? What am I going to do with my life? God was working ahead. And while God is working on you, God is working on the people around you. We're so fixated sometimes on fixing the people around us. Hey, be encouraged. Remember, God's working on your spouse. Oh, Pastor Greg, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my coworkers, my neighbors, whatever it is. We get so fixated on, like, what's happening with them. Like, hey, God's working on you, and God's working on them. Maybe they're not receiving the work of God the way you would like them to receive it. Maybe they're not receiving it at the pace that you would like them to receive it. But be encouraged to know that God is working, as he's working in your life, he's working on your marriage. He's working with your spouse. He's working with your kids. He's working with your parents. He's working with those people, just as we see it with Moses and Aaron. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, check out this verse. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. There's someone here today in your losing heart because you don't understand the work that God might be doing in someone else's life. Don't lose heart. We ought always to what? Pray. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your classmates. Pray for those people. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why? Because while God is working on me, God is working on them. It's not, okay, he's working on me till I'm done, then he's moving on to the next person. Nope. It's not a linear story. It's an immersive one. And God is powerful enough to do that work in multiple ways with multiple people. It's a blessing. Number two, speak the words and show the works of God. Speak the words and show the works of God. When Moses gets to Aaron, verse 28, Moses tells Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he commanded him to do. He spoke the words and he showed the works. Aaron, when they get to the people, Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. In both cases, you have them speaking the words and showing the works. There is a proclamation of truth and there's a demonstration of faith. Write those two things down. There's a proclamation of truth and there is a demonstration of faith. Let me give you a couple verses. Number one, Romans chapter 10. 14 to 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There is a proclamation of truth that must take place. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Disciples are not made and people are not transformed by osmosis. There's not a Holy Spirit osmosis that happens when we just like, you know, rub up against people and just like we just hope the Holy Spirit just kind of just gravitates over there. Like they need the Holy Spirit. They need God in their life. You know, there has to be a proclamation of truth. But not just a proclamation of truth, a demonstration of faith. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. And it's very important to understand, this is not teaching a works-based salvation. Okay, you got to just, you know, earn God's favor and your good's got to outweigh your bad and God's going to let you in, cosmic scale in the sky. It's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is, you are unable, it's a rhetorical statement, you are unable to show someone faith without works. You can have it, but you can't show it to anybody. The only way you can show your faith is through work, is by demonstrating that to someone else. So faith and a proclamation of truth and a demonstration of faith. And there's a danger when we get imbalanced on one side or the other, okay? On the one side, you have Pharisaism. Okay, and Pharisaism is simply, I'm just all about proclamation of truth. I mean, the Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the law. They knew exactly what the scripture said, and they beat people up with it. Okay, but Jesus spoke often in derogatory terms about the religious leaders, and one of the most biting indictments, scathing indictments, was that they were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Which basically means they had a really ornate, beautiful tombstone. It looked beautiful. It was shiny. It was decorative. It was ornate. But it was grave. It was dead inside. It looked great on the outside, but there was nothing going on there. It was deadness. And if we're all just about proclamation of truth without a demonstration of faith, that'll lead us to Pharisaism. The flip side of that is, if there's just a demonstration of faith and no proclamation of truth, well, in that case, we open ourselves up to the susceptibility of flattery. Flattery. Because if we're doing all these wonderful things, we're doing all these wonderful works, but not giving any praise or glory or attention to Jesus, who's getting all the praise and attention and glory? Us. Man, what a great husband. Man, what a great father. What a great guy. What a great gal. Man, they just have a great attitude, positive, upbeat. But we are silent when it comes to the name of Jesus. And we receive all the attention. We receive all the glory. We receive all the adoration. And he receives none because we have focused on our demonstration of faith, which is good. But by not proclaiming truth, we've robbed God of glory. So both have to be happening, proclamation of truth and demonstration of faith. And that's the pattern we see there in Exodus chapter 4. This is what he said. This is what he did. Hey, let me tell you what he said. Let me show you what he did. And that needs to be our pattern. Hey, let me tell you what he said and let me show you what he did. Now, everybody's got a different gifting and different comfort level, and not everybody has the gift of gab, you know, like me and like other people, like, you know, PGI, you know. But in your way, you need to find a way to balance these two, proclamation of truth and demonstration of faith. And if you're all about proclamation of truth, you better start finding some ways to demonstrate your faith. And if you're all about demonstrating your faith, you better find some ways to proclaim truth. Because both are necessary in our lives to be balanced. Okay? That's number two. Number three, we need to embrace the power of partnership. Embrace the power of partnership. You've got God to Aaron, and then you have Moses to Aaron, and then you have verse 29, then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. I love that. So God's dealing with Moses, then God's dealing with Aaron, then Moses is dealing with Aaron, and now they're both going together to embrace the power of partnership. We were not made to go it alone. We find this going all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the creation, Genesis chapter number 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And obviously that's talking about marriage, and that's man and wife, and that's Adam and Eve. But the principle is the same. We were not built, we were not designed to just go through life on our own. And so the Bible is full of examples of partnerships. Adam and Eve, Noah and his family, Moses and Aaron, Elijah and Elisha, Joshua and Caleb, Paul and Barnabas, Jesus and his disciples. Hey, if there was any single person who's ever walked the face of the planet who was able to go it alone and do it on his own, it was Jesus. Yet he chose to partner with people because the day was going to come when he was going to leave and the ministry and the message of the gospel had to keep going. So even Jesus partnered with people. We need to embrace that partnership. I want to take a moment this morning and just say how grateful I am for the partners that God has given to me here at Adventure Church. I carry this card in my Bible from Easter Sunday of our team. And as most of us were able to go to Thrive, not everyone was able to go because of schedules, but you know, being at Thrive and being in that environment, we're just reminded constantly of the value of a team-based approach to ministry. I cannot, I should not, and I will not carry it alone. I can't, this church, this ministry. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Pastor Dave, our executive pastor. And there's a lot of stuff to manage around here. There's a lot of business-type things that need to happen around here. And be thankful that we have someone like him with his skill set and his understanding of the things that need to happen. Because we've got a budget of close to $500,000. Do you want that managed well? Do you want God's resources taken care of? I'm grateful for that because I suck at that stuff. And it doesn't interest me at all. We need somebody like that. And he works 50-plus hours at his job down the road. And he's got a wife, and he's got three girls at home, and it's a stretch, but he serves and he sacrifices for this congregation, and I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for his friendship. I'm grateful for his partnership. I'm thankful for Pastor Dallas, our youth pastor. This morning he was our worship leader too. So Pastor Dallas and Shaughnessy was over there singing. Beautiful Shaughnessy. Oh my goodness, that was amazing, your song during the offering. So grateful for Pastor Dallas. So grateful he's our newest staff member. And just grateful for the energy and the heart that he has for our teenagers, for the way he's thinking about the future and trying to process how to best move our young people into further discipleship and understanding of God's will and purpose for their life. I praise God for him. And grateful for his friendship, grateful for his partnership. Jeff Papinga, our worship guy. How's the worship at Adventure Church, right? It's, you know, I mean, I go to Thrive, and it's always great. And, you know, Bayside Midtown did the worship yesterday, and the campus pastor got up and was like, yeah, we get this worship every Sunday. And I was like, sucks for you. We've got, our worship is awesome. Our worship is great. You can take it, Bayside Midtown. Look at Adventure Church of Yuba City. We got it going on in here. I didn't actually say that, but I was thinking it, though. We're blessed. We're blessed. All these musicians, all you guys that come up here and sing and play, and you guys in the back that do all the media and graphic visual stuff, it's awesome. Jeff couldn't be here today. And Jeff, as well, he's got a job. He works at Franklin School. He works at Sutter High School. He also works for an agency that takes him out to different gigs and things all over the place. This summer, he'll be doing county fairs and doing all sorts of stuff. And last night, he was in Reno. And he called me, and he said, you know, PG, there's supposed to be snow coming in Reno. And I'm not sure they got any. I heard that there was. I heard it was snowing up that direction here last night. And he goes, I just can't do it. And what you may not realize, and I can only say this kind of stuff when he's not here, so brag on him a little bit. It's not unusual at all for Jeff to be at some gig someplace till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, driving all night to be here by 7 o'clock to lead us all in worship before his head ever hits the pillow at his house. Routinely that happens. Why? He loves it here. He loves worshiping. He loves serving. And he's been here for about 5 years. I'm grateful for his friendship. I'm grateful for his partnership. It's a joy to do ministry with him. Nicole, our children's director. Are you in here, Nicole? She's in the back. She's in the back. I'm grateful for Nicole. Like, a lot of you know me from my children's pastor days. I was a children's pastor for 7 years here in Yuba City. And I'm probably not the easiest supervisor, boss for a children's director to have, because I've got a pretty high expectation for what children's ministry ought to look like. And Nicole has got a heart and a passion and a drive to bless and minister to these kids. And she's different from me. She has a different style from me. She's got a different leadership set than me. She needs some help over there. But she brings she comes with ideas. And I'm just like, that's just crazy. That's never going to work. And it works. It's amazing. I'm like, wow, you're awesome. I'm thankful for Nicole. I'm thankful for all that she does. And again, you know, part-time student, raising babies at home, very, very full plate, but she serves here. She works here. She serves our children. Why? Because she loves them. She wants to see them grow into loving disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful for Christy, who is probably the one that I have the closest working relationship with, because I have an office here and she has like a little cubicle. She doesn't even have an office. She just kind of has that little desk over there. And she does so many things that I can't even begin to enumerate them all. There are just so many glue sticky things that hold together and oil things that make things run more smoothly. And because of our working proximity, a confidant, a partner, a defensive wall, a cheerleader, I mean, she just wears a lot of hats for me. And I appreciate her partnership. And our leadership team, we've got a great leadership team. My small group, shout out to the Plumas Lake small group that I'm a part of. And we do life together. And softball team, yeah, softball, like, we have a great time. We just get together and we have, and there are people in my life that I need. I need to embrace the power of partnership. And some of you are trying to go it alone. You're isolating yourself from other people. You're isolating people that care about you. You're isolating even within your own families. Husbands and wives, you're on different pages about your kids. Hey, That's not how it's supposed to be. You need to be working together. You need to embrace the power of partnership. In this church, embrace the power of partnership. Do not live out there on an island. Find a place to plug in. You need that. It's not just some, you know, pillar of our purpose statement here to serve. You need to be connecting with people and serving with people and growing with people because God built us for community and fellowship and relationship. And when we don't do that, something is missing. And we will not be as strong as we could be. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to embrace the power of partnership. Don't go it alone. You weren't built that way. And number four, lastly, you guys clearly are not listening fast enough to me today. That's a Dr. Gill thing. Number four, worship is always the right response to the yes moments of life. Worship is always the right response to the yes moments of life. They heard, they believed. The people believed when they heard. The Lord visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction. They bowed their heads and they worshiped. They heard, they believed, they bowed, they worshiped. Worship is always the right response to the yes moments of life. Let me give you three verses. Matthew 2:11. This is the wise men. This is the Christmas story, okay? Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What does the Bible say? They were following the star. They were looking for Jesus. And they walk in the house and they find Jesus. And what do? They go, yes! And what's their response to that worship? Luke chapter number 9, verse 38. This is blind Bartimaeus, and you read the entire chapter. It's awesome. He says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. What do you think his response was, his reaction was the first time that he saw? Yes! And what was his response? To worship. Matthew 14, 33, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Here's all the tumultuous seas and the storm and the difficulties. And Jesus says, peace be still. And they're safe. They're protected. And they say, yes. And the response is they worship him. Worship is always the right response to the yes moments of life. The problem is that our enemies, and who are our enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Our enemy from without, the world. Our enemy from within, the flesh, that evil sin nature that we still battle. And the devil, those supernatural elements. All three are our enemies as a believer, follower of Jesus. And what our enemy wants to do is rob us of the worship rightly owed to God when you experience a yes moment. Well, that was just a natural consequence. I mean, that, you know, you reap what you sow, and you know, when you do this, there's cause and effect, Pastor Greg. That's the devil robbing you of a yes moment that would give glory to God. Well, there's got to be a scientific explanation for this. I mean, there's got to be some science. I can't wait till we get to the plagues of Egypt. It's going to be so much fun. You know, it's got to be a scientific explanation for all this, right? What's the enemy doing? He's robbing God of the glory due his name when he provides a yes moment. That's just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. There's no causality there. There are no coincidences. There are divine appointments. And the enemy wants to take those yes moments in your life and say, that was just natural. That was scientific. That's just a coincidence. Don't rob God of the glory he deserves when he provides the yes moments in your life. I didn't do anything to get my name called. Nothing. There I am. I'm like, I won the box. It was so funny. It was so fun. I didn't do anything. And yet my name was called. And after making sure, like, did we really hear that? I went, yes! And if I could have, I'd have gotten down and worshiped. Why? because God blessed me with something beyond my imagination. Beyond my imagination. I can't take any glory for that. I can't take any honor for that. I can't take any adoration. You know, people are giving me high fives. Yeah, high five. Like, yeah, thank my church. They bought the tickets for last year. Thank you. And for next year. Thanks, you guys. You know, I didn't do anything. Filled out a card, dropped it in the box. See what happens. And there's stuff happening in your life all the time. There are yes moments. And the response to those is give it to God and worship. Worship Him. What is worship? Worship is simply fixing my attention toward Him. Just fixing my attention toward Him. Worship is not music. Music helps us worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a mindset. Worship is that is those times that we are simply focused on the Lord, focused on Jesus. And as we close this service, as we prepare for communion, let's just think about that. Let's just fix our hearts, our minds, our eyes on Jesus in these last few moments. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Remember that while God is working on you, He's preparing the way ahead of you. Be grateful for His work in your life, but also be mindful that His story is not a linear one, it's an immersive one. And He's working on your spouse, He's working on your kids, He's working in those relationships, He's working ahead of you. Speak the words and show the works of God. Proclaim truth and demonstrate faith. Do those in harmony with one another. Embrace the power of partnership. Some of you are going it alone. Even in your own homes, your own families, you're going it alone. And God says, that's not the way I designed it to be. Get some strong relationships in your life. And worship is always the right response to the yes moments of life. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. When finally God has heard me. Finally God has provided for me. Finally God has revealed Himself to me. Finally I see it. And to not allow it to be diminished by the enemy who would say, just a coincidence. Natural consequence. No. Give Him glory. Father, we worship You today. And we thank You for the privilege to know You because of Jesus. We thank You for the salvation that is offered to us freely because of His sacrifice that we will remember here in just a moment. And Father, I pray that You would just continue to work in our hearts, Lord, that we might continue to see just the tremendous blessing of the yes moments of life. And just to bask in Your goodness. Lord, there are folks here, they're going through it. It's rough. Say, PG, it's been a long time since I've had a yes moment. Father, I pray that You would encourage them, that You would help them, that they would come to see, just as these people, that You have not forgotten them. You see them, You hear them, You know them. And in Your time, You will send Moses, You will send Aaron, You will send Your delivering hand. So help them, Father, I pray. Encourage them. Help them to always pray and not to lose heart. We get so discouraged. Help us to take that anxiety and turn it into petitions before Your throne. Lord, bless this time of communion. Continue to speak and work in our hearts. And may we just take joy in the fact that You're not just working in my heart at this moment. You're working in the hearts of all of my family members right here in this church this morning. All at the same time, this immersive experience of worship and testimony and praise and remembrance. We give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.